Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes here, making sure everything is rocking and rolling right. 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. Little after 4:20, Deuce McAllister, our Saints radio color analyst, will join us talking about Saints, some of the moves today. And before we get into some of the moves, Bob was supposed to be here this afternoon. Many of you know that his mom passed away this morning, Miss Paula, and after a long illness. And certainly our condolences go out to the Hebert family. Thoughts and prayers with them. Miss Paula, I mean, you couldn't ask for a nicer lady in life. You know, she always had a big smile on her face and was always big to greet you. We, Bob and I, do the television show on Tuesdays out at HTV, Sports on the Bayou at Martin Falls' place, and she was always there to greet us and talk to you about your family, how's the kids, the grandkids, how's your wife doing, everything else. And so she had a stroke a few years back and really maybe never was quite the same, but she had a good life, enjoyed the kids and grandkids, enjoyed seeing the success of her children, and certainly with Bobby. And one of her funny stories was that she said, Mike, I'd go to the Saints games and I'd bring my rosary with me. I'd pray the rosary, not for them to win, just so that Bobby wouldn't get hurt. So, I mean, that only a mom would do stuff like that. Man, Miss Paula was a good lady in life, and we're going to miss her. And, you know, she gets reunited with Mr. Bob. But, again, it's hard to lose a parent if it's fast or if it's, you know, a long period of time. And I went through both with my parents. So, again, my hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to the Hebert family and to Bob. And I know how much he really thought of his mom and how much he misses her. But she's in a better place in life today. And so, we send our thoughts and prayers out to the Hebert family, and in particular for Bob. He talked a lot about his mom, a lot to me. Sort of his mom and my dad was similar personality-wise. His dad sort of ran everything at the house. My mom sort of ran everything at my house. But, again, the good lady in life, and we're going to miss her. Cullen, a couple moves by the Saints today.
Couple move, yes.
And one trade. The Saints acquired defensive tackle John Ridgeway III. He started out at Illinois State and finished up at Arkansas. He was with the Washington Commanders for a couple years. He was a fifth-round pick in 2022 of the Cowboys. They released him, and then the Commanders picked him up. And he knew his job there, stop the run. And so the Saints gave up a sixth-round pick for Ridgeway, and in return got Ridgeway and a seventh-round pick in 2025. So basically it was a sixth for a seventh-round pick, and Ridgeway thrown into the mix there. He's a big run stuffer, a 6'5"-plus guy, over 320 pounds. And I can tell you who really kind of banged the drum on this, and that's Todd Grantham, the Saints defensive line coach. Todd's been a longtime SEC coach, and he had to go up against Ridgeway a couple times, and he's a difference maker in stopping the run. So you get a bit piece brought in with Colin Saunders, not knowing exactly when he would return back to the lineup. They made that move to pick up Ridgeway. And what they did is swing Kendall Vickers, who had made the original 53-man squad. Now he is on the Saints practice squad. And the Saints claimed off waivers from the Minnesota Vikings, a guy I saw a lot in college from Iowa State. He was a 2021, fourth-round pick,
yeah.
From Iowa State, Kanu Wangu. Who is a really good return man, speed guy. He's a north-south guy. There's not a lot of wiggle with him, but, man, can he run straight fast. He has played some running back, caught a few passes coming out the backfield, but his strength is as a kickoff return man. In the NFL, he's averaged 27.6 yards per kickoff return. He's brought back 3 scores. So, Kanay Wangu, who was with the Vikings for the past 3 years, now is a member of the Saints. He was claimed off waivers by New Orleans, and you can see right off the bat, this may have been, again, if there's a guy with stroke in that coaching room, man, it's Darren Rizzi.
Oh, yeah.
Man, give me that fast guy, because I see what he can do. Also help you out a little bit in the running back core, and we've talked about it, a speed guy. And he is jet fast. Again, he's not a wiggle guy. He is a straight-up north-south speed guy, and that's what the Saints have in Kane Wangu.
Whew, some of these stats are insane, Mike. Iowa State, Cyclone career, 92 kicks for 2,400 return yards. Leads the school. His career kickoff return yards are a school record and all-time third in Big 12 history. He's got it. He's got the stats to back up returning, especially with these new kickoff rules when we're going to have two guys back there.
Yeah, and that's the setup. And who do you want to kick it to, Rashid Shaheed, or you want to kick it to Wangu? Good luck either way. But again, if you're looking for a guy with speed, north-south, he's not a guy that's a lot of make-you-miss type moves. He just want to outrun you. Kanu can do that, and can do it real well. Again, not the offensive line kind of setup that we maybe thought would happen. But there's still time for that, additions.
We're on day two.
Yeah, and so, again, I have a friend of mine who's in the agent business, and I think he's got 22 clients, and of the 22, I think 14 of them are either in their first year or in their second year, and he was like, don't buy, rent, until we figure out how all this is going to shape out in the next couple weeks. On the practice squad, these were the names that were released. Kevin Austin Jr., who they picked up late. He was in the UFL at wide receiver. Ugo Amade, who has played safety. Nickel, also returned punts. Millard Bradford, the rookie safety from TCU. Jacob Cabote, the halfback from University of Louisiana.
I texted my dad about that one. He was like, good. Like, he was pumped.
You can see he's got some talent.
That performance
Let's hope he can
really
stay
good.
Healthy.
I'm praying for the RB core. I hope they can stay healthy, yeah. But I'm glad to have him back.
Kicker, Charlie Smith. And we wondered a little bit about that. Would somebody take a chance on him? Because, man, he's shown he can kick it. Now, somewhere within the next year to 15 months, he's going to be kicking in the NFL. He's got that type of talent.
He does. Teams didn't really get to see that much. We did, often at practice, a little bit in a game. I think he had, one kick all preseason in a game. It was that first game, I believe. He didn't play in the third game. We wanted him to. He had a groin injury. So, many teams didn't really have a lot of film, and they had word of mouth to go off of. They didn't have anything else, and word of mouth can do a lot for you, especially if you're kicking, 60-yarders with ease. But, it's not going to hurt to keep him, especially since he's on that the international spot, so he's not really going to count against us.
Yeah, you get an extra spot.
For free.
For that. Josiah Isram, the offensive tackle, who was the only draft choice that was released. He's brought back to the practice squad. Shane Lemieux,
yep.
The veteran offensive guard, who they gave some work at center, but, it was shaky with him with the snaps. Kyle Urgel, we talked about, and he – never forget, he comes in for the interview, and he was one of the top linemen that I thought would get picked and ended up being a free agent. And he really played well. And he was running with the ones at one time at the guard position.
I remember that.
He's back on the team. Linebacker Isaiah Stahlberg returns to the team on the practice squad. Equanimeous St. Brown, mm-hmm. That wide receiver, returns. Jonathan Abram returns. And Jonathan's used to this. This happened to him a couple of times last year.
Yep.
He got put back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think they ran out of designations for him, so he stayed on the squad. Michael Jacobson, the former high school and college basketball star trying to become a tight end in the NFL. Kendall Vickers, who had originally made the 52, a defensive tackle. Now he's on the practice squad. Kalik Hudson, the veteran linebacker, he's also back on the practice squad along with Mason Fairchild, who was sort of a bit of a late pickup for the team.
Yeah.
And he is on the practice squad. So along with the additions of Kane Wangu, off waivers, and the trade for Ridgeway, you have the practice squad set up. And again, that will be fluid across the board. And more moves are going to come here. But these are the original ones some 24 hours after we got the cut down to the 53-man squad. When we come back, we'll have on with us Deuce McAllister, the Saints radio color analyst. Talk to us about the Saints' moves and possible other moves they may make right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. We'll have on with us Deuce McAllister in just a couple of seconds. And Cullen, you know the story. We talked about Michael Pratt. I know Steve had it in the flash. But, okay, I go to a Tulane game this year. Mm-hmm. Sitting in the press box. And who's sitting next to me, Cullen?
Who?
The scout for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know what? I'm not a big Bucs fan, but I want to see him win. And I don't know why. Maybe you do. You got more ears on the ground than me. We still don't really know why he fell so far in the draft. And do you think that hangover kind of resulted in his quick departure from the Packers? You're a seventh-round pick. Sometimes you're not cut out. Sometimes those seventh-round picks, you know, you're not all going to be Brock Purdy. You're not going to make the team. You're not going to make the team and then be the guy. But it did seem kind of like he was cut a little short, I hate to say.
It didn't seem to bother him. I spoke to him in the offseason.
About his dropping in the draft.
About his drop. He said, you know, listen, I had no control over that.
I mean, you don't.
You really don't. And he was like, you know, wherever I go, I'm going to give him everything I have. And he thought it was a good situation in Green Bay. He did bring up the fact they don't have a veteran quarterback. They might go out and get one. I thought in watching him in the preseason, I thought he played pretty well throwing the football. Tampa Bay's another nice spot for him to land. And I do know one thing. That scout was there. I knew exactly who he was looking at. He charted every throw, where it was, everything else. And, you know, we got into the conversation, and he's a young guy, early 30s. And so we end up talking and one thing and another. And as soon as I opened my mouth, that was the giveaway. He knew who I was after that. But he told me, you know, we really like him. We really like Michael Pratt as a passer. We think that he would fit real well in our offense. And sure enough. Didn't take long once the Packers waived him that he gets picked up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so he'll be backing up Baker Mayfield with the Bucs.
Oh, my God. I just hope he doesn't show out against us.
In time, he's going to be a good player in this league. He'll get a chance to start.
I hope so. I really do.
He's going to get a chance to start one day in this league. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line for our Saints radio color analyst, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
All righty. Deuce, right off the bat, two little maneuvers the Saints did today, picking up John Ridgeway the third. Saw him play a lot at Arkansas. I think who maybe pushed this to make the deal. And that's Todd Grantham. Got to understand, you know how many years Todd Grantham coached in the SEC? He has seen all those SEC defensive tackles. John is a big dude. He's 6'5 and change, 320 pounds plus and change. And his number one priority is stopping the run. And so you kind of get it, not knowing the situation with Colin Saunders. Ridgeway's got a job to do. He stops the run.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, obviously, Colin, man, I would be interested to see when he exactly hurt that calf. I mean, because when you go back and you look at the practice they had in the Dome, there was a series where he was in and he came out. And he kind of limped off to the side of the field, and he went to the sideline, and, you know, he talked to the trainer, talked to the doctors, et cetera. I don't know if it happened there or if it was something that maybe popped up in a game or even flared up in a practice, but I know for sure I saw it, you know, as far as him go to the sideline, et cetera, and that occur. Cavs always tricky, you know. And look at what Salivary is dealing with their calf injury. You could hope that it's 2 to 3 weeks, but the thing that you don't want it to do is to be something that lingers. And so, making that pick, you send a sixth rounder. I think you got back the player and obviously a seventh rounder. That gives you a little bit of a known commodity. I think they like Boyd, but at the same time, Boyd's a rookie. And so I think it's going to just take some time for him. You did have Vickers originally on your 53. He reverted back. You released him. He reverted back to your practice squad. So he goes to your practice squad. So right now they'll keep four defensive linemen. At times they've kept three defensive linemen as far as defensive tackles are concerned, particularly when you have so many defensive ends. And then by picking up another running back slash returner, I'll be intrigued how much he is used offensively, because I don't know if he's going to be a first and second down back, maybe even more of a guy that you use in slot situations. But we know in the return game, he's going to be back there. And, you know, whether it's spelling Rashid or he and Rashid are back both, or however they choose to use him, I think that he'll be a weapon for him.
One thing with him, Deuce, he can run. Man, I watched him at Iowa State. He was a great kickoff return guy. He comes into the league 3 years. He averaged 27.6 yards a kickoff return. He brought back three for scores. And so you understand, now again, he's not a lot of wiggle. He is straight up north-south speed, almost like a track sprinter. Get me on the track and I can outrun it. And I know we've talked about this before. Who would be opposite Rashid Shaheed in the kickoff return game? You got him. And he can help you a little bit at running back if need be.
Yeah, no, I think so. But also, even when you talk about teams trying to kick away from one or the other, that's going to be a hard situation to do. And when you talk about just being able to shield block, I don't need you to lead block. I just need you to shield and just make sure a guy doesn't make the tackle, as far as if I'm the off returner. Because normally I'm going to put a heavier guy, whether it's a tight end or another tailback back there, to be able to say, hey, look, your job is to be able to block a little bit. And I don't know if that'll be the case or if they will go with two true returners. And so I like speed, Mike. I mean, when you can have some speed on the field, it makes it a little bit harder for those defenses to say, hey, look, this is what we want to do.
Deuce, one of the things I know you and I talked about a lot was kind of what would happen in the secondary. They would keep 5 to 6. You and I talked about it. We thought Omadi would somehow make this team because he was a slot corner. He could play safety. He had actually helped in the return game. He can play on special teams. But they put him, okay, on the practice squad. Same thing as Jonathan Abram, but that's not a shock to me because you know what? They did the exact same thing last year. And they kind of played, you know, shuffled the cards with him. They brought him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now they got two of them like that now with Omadi and with Jonathan Abram. I think when you looked at this roster, if I'd have told you back in May, Rico Payton makes the 53-man roster, you'd have said, ain't no way. No way that he's making this 53-man roster. And yet, I think when you look back at it, he's the biggest surprise if you go back in time to what happened today.
No, I agree. I mean, you don't even have to go back that far. I mean, you go to the start of training camp, and you would probably still say, no, there's no way that he's making this roster. And the one thing that he did, he got better and better every day. He got better and better every day. Here's something interesting, though. If Paulson Adebo and Lattimore don't get hurt, I don't think he gets the reps.
That's it.
He doesn't get enough reps to be able to show what he can do. I mean, just think about it. I mean, because if they don't get hurt, he doesn't get enough reps to be able to even go out there and show what he can do. And so that young man took advantage of the opportunities, and he proved that, hey, look, I may not be ready right now, but I'm good enough to play in this league. And, you know, just hats off to him, because he got better. He got better and he got better, and he earned opportunity. And, you know, I know the Saints felt like at times maybe before training camp you could have snuck him through. But once he put it on film and he consistently put it on film, there was no way that you were going to be able to sneak him through as far as to bring him back on the practice squad. So he ended up, you know, earning the opportunity to be on the 53-man roster. And here's my deal. So right now, going into it, I said that there would be 3 to 5 new players on this team. They've got two. They've got two so far, one via the claim and one via of a trade, and I mean on the 53-man roster. I still, and Charlie, you have to correct me, if my math is right, there's still an opportunity for one more player to go to the practice squad. Is that correct? And then correct. If you move any other player, it would have to be via release and or IR at this point. But I still feel like there's probably one or two more players that they add to this roster.
Deuce, I'd say 2 to 3. I'll be honest with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I wholeheartedly agree. And so, like, and here's the other thing about this roster right here. I think this roster today, what you have today, is to possibly practice and get ready for a game against Carolina. I don't think that this will be your roster that you carry completely throughout the season. You know, this roster may look, I know it'll probably look different come week two, but this roster may look a little bit more different come week four. You know, if that makes sense. So I think this roster right here, what they have, and we know there'll be some elevations come game day, but over the next week and a half as they practice, they will say, hey, look, this is what this guy can do. We feel like this guy can do that. Just because those players are on practice squad, we know they can get called up. You know, the week of the game or the day before the game, whenever they make that announcement. But withstanding all of that, I still think that they add another player or two to the current 53-man roster.
Deuce, Cullen here, actually know Charlie, giving him the day off. But with the current practice squad, do you think there's anybody that might stay through? Like you said, is there anybody that you think they're on the practice squad, but they should be a lock, they'll be here all year type of deal?
No, I think that all of those guys will have an opportunity to move up. The only one is probably Charlie Smith, and that'll be because of what's happening in the kicking game. But all of those players that are on there, pretty much all of them, you know, I would have to look at the names to be more concrete. But I think if you've got 16 right now, I would probably say 10, maybe 11 will play on Sunday with the 53-man roster. I say 10 or 11 at some point over this season will play on Sunday with the 53-man roster, and whether that's a, you know, regular call-up or he ends up calling up and he can't go back down, whatever that may be, you know, 10 or 11 of those guys will get the call to where they're playing regularly on Sundays.
Deuce, just from a numbers standpoint, I'd have bet you dollars to donuts the Saints wouldn't have kept 6 wide receivers. I mean, Bobby and I were talking about that Monday. He's like, Mike, you think they're going to keep 5? I said, they'll keep 5, but that's it. I couldn't see them go 6, and all of a sudden, you saw the 6, and, you know, the last two being one in Mason Tipton, who we didn't get to see in the preseason. You guys got to see him, and he really showed out big out in California during the practice sessions. And then Bub Means, he fought off injuries too. The entire way, we saw a little bit of him in the preseason games. Did that surprise you? Not so much the player, but the number of 6.
No, I agree. You know, at one point, Mike, I was probably stuck on 4. You know, I was probably stuck on 4.
That was Bobby's deal. He thought it was 4.
How many they carry? Because I looked at him going heavy tight end. And right now, it depends on where you throw Taysom in. You know, you either got 3 tight ends or 4 tight ends. I figured they would grab another one there, just how they want to run that system. But right now, it's more of a traditional or not traditional. It's more of a Sean Payton count offensively, how they're built. And so that's one thing to watch on, see if that changes to where they have, you know, 4 tight ends, and Taysom makes it a little tricky because he can line up at the tight end position. He can line up at the quarterback position. He can line up at the – he gives you almost an extra player where you normally would have a true player in that spot. And so maybe that's where you got away with carrying. I know on the defensive line side, you're getting away carrying a little as far as D-tackle, you're carrying an extra guy there. But at the receiver spot, you're probably a little heavy because I don't see all 6 of those guys being up on game day. You know, it may be a situation where you have 5 up. It may be a situation where you only have 4 up on game day. So it'll be something to watch. I do know this for a fact. They loved Tipton. I mean, I know you didn't see him play in the game, but the kid has a little something. Now, will that translate to 10 touchdowns and, you know, 70 catches? I don't know. I think that's going to take some time. But I do know this. If he gets a chance to go out there and perform, he's got a little something to him.
Deuce, we got a texter, and I think it's a good question. Asked about what percentage of the plays you think Cam Jordan's going to play a defensive tackle. Now, we know it's going to be in the NASCAR package when that's going to happen, but would you think they would put him there even when you're not in the NASCAR package?
And even he's not bumping inside on all NASCAR as well. And so that's he doesn't bump in. They've got a rotation, and the other part of it is, do you have four defensive ends up or do you have three up? You know, so is Peyton Turner up as a DN or is he not up? You know, is Foskey available or is he not up? So if I only have three defensive ends up and available, then Cam may play a little D-tackle, but I'm not playing Cam inside a lot. I'm going to play him a little, but I'm not playing him a lot in because I don't have any a rotation guy. I have to have a rotation guy amongst, you know, Granderson and 99. I can't even think
Chase
of
Young.
Chase Young. So when you look at it from that standpoint, if there's a percentage inside a defensive tackle, probably 30%.
Okay.
Probably 30% of the time. I mean, I even when you say NASCAR, second and seven, second and eight, I don't see the Saints going NASCAR with that look. I don't see bumping Cam inside with that look. I think it'll be game by game, and it'll be a situational that they do it. But you know, NASCAR is normally third and six, third and six, maybe third and seven. Second and six, I'm not going NASCAR. I'm going to just go regular nickel.
Deuce, the punting situation, again, is another change for this team. And I believe in Darren Rizzi. I think he knows what he's doing on special teams. But I know in watching the OTAs here, Matt Haball, and watching him at Vanderbilt, every time he punted the ball, it looked like he was trying to hit the air out of it. I mean, he was trying to get as much distance as he could out of every kick, and there's some good in that and also some bad because you can outkick your coverage on it. With Headley, I think he had an advantage, and then the last couple games, it sort of fell apart on him. Do you think that played the big part? Because I think if it's just leg talent, Haball's got it over him. If it's just leg strength and being able to kick a football from a punting standpoint. But there's more to this game than that. I just think the last couple of weeks it kind of fell apart on Headley.
Mike, how does this team have to win if they're going to be successful?
No, you got to play small ball. You got to win on special teams.
You got to win on special team, and you got your defense. It doesn't have to be elite. It doesn't have to be top five, but your defense has to be a top 10 unit. Now, your special teams, they have to be elite. They have to be elite. When I have a chance to pin a team inside the 10-yard line, you know, not the 20. The 20 is, that's obsolete. That's 10 years ago. That's 15 years ago. If you can't pin a team inside the 10-yard line consistently as a punter, and particularly when you're at the, let's call it 45, you're 45, not the offense, definitely not the opponent's 45. You better be able to pin him. But if you're at the 45 and you can't pin him inside, you know, the 10 or at worst the 15, if you can't do that consistently, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. So you're going to have to win the field position game. You're going to have to pin teams in consistent. When I need a punt and I've got to get it out of back, I've got to have it. I've got to know that I've got 40 yards. I'm banking on 45 yards of you flipping the field. And then when you get an opportunity to pin an opponent inside the 10, I got to know it's money. And some of this falls on the Gunners. But that punter has to have it in his bag where that ball is, you know, 7-8 yard line, 5 yard line. It hits and it's spinning back. It's spinning back. It's not going into the end zone. And so I do agree. And I won't say it was the pressure that got our punter. I mean, because I think that he's going to still punt in the NFL. I just think that it over the last couple of weeks, not just. Practice. I mean, not just the games, but maybe even times in practice, it didn't happen. It didn't hit. It did not hit.
Deuce, you and I have spoken about this a lot, even before training camp started, but you always brought up about developing young players, how crucial it is for this franchise. Now, I wish I could say it was more on the offensive side, but it really has been on defense. We see the progression with Brian Brisset. I don't know who's had a better camp. Alante Taylor and what he's been able to do at that nickel corner position. I think he's more comfortable today, or maybe more in time mentally with being able to play that. Anthony Argy. Okay, when we watched him at Vanderbilt, he was always a get-up-the-field guy because he struggled a little bit in coverage. You see a different guy today. Those three guys, we talk about young players and developing their skills and being mentally right, really took their game to another level this offseason.
So I'll give you the break on what I see in all three of those players. With Alante Taylor, you see a confident player. You see a player that is comfortable not only playing inside in the slots and understanding route combinations and patterns, but also understanding the timing of offenses, the timing of movement with the quarterback, and what the level throws look like. You know, as far as 5 yards, 7 yards, you know, you have the over coming over, then you've got a deep route, you know, it's a comeback, whatever. He's a lot more comfortable in that position as far as the slot and outside. So he's playing with an extreme amount of confidence. The one thing that he gets in trouble sometimes, and it's all players, is I'll get sloppy with my technique.
Yep.
And once I get sloppy with my technique, you know, good teams, they're gonna expose you. They're gonna expose you. So he's playing with a lot of confidence. When you talk about a player like Anthony Orji, Anthony Orji was all over the field for Vanderbilt. I mean, it's from strong safety. Mike linebacker, you know, Sam linebacker. At one point, you know, they're playing a 3-4, so he's at the jack. He's at the wheel, you know, lining up as a defensive end. He's all over the field. He's a lot more comfortable in what he's doing with the Saints. He can play all three linebacker positions. The only thing that I would tell Anthony right now is to make sure on his keys, when he's reading an offensive lineman and understanding down and distance, at times he will be a little late seeing its pass, and now he's in chase and recovery mode. If he can see that and not get in recovery mode to where now I can make the play and I'm not hoping that the quarterback doesn't make a good throw, that's where he's going to be all over the field. Because reading and understanding what a team is doing from you when a run situation is there, he's seeing it. I mean, he's seeing it. He's able to cut up underneath. He can outrun guys. He can take on blocks. You know, it's just that little subtleness, and it's reps to understand, oh, man, that's play action. I can't take that false step and get sucked up in because I've got to get out in the flat, or I've got a tight end that can run, and I've got to make sure that he doesn't get over the top with me. And it was one more player.
Alante Taylor.
No, I talked about him.
Okay.
It was one more. Anthony Orji, Alante Taylor.
Brian Brisset.
So with Brian, last year, remember he had the shoulder surgery or injury? You can see him be able to extend fully. So I don't know how much he's benching now. I don't know if it's back 100% as far as him having full capabilities to extend. But you can see him playing a lot more with just being able to extend and whether I want to get upfield. He's always been quick. I mean, he's always had the nasty spin move. That's always been there. But, I mean, to be able to play with power for a guy that's not known to play with power, I think that has helped him tremendously. And then, you know, just for him, it's finishing, you know, once I get to the backfield, can I get the guy down? You know, it's one thing to get back there and cause some havoc, but can I get the trifecta where I not only beat my lineman, I'm able to come with the sack and force the fumble, you know, and so, or I'm able to get behind the offensive lineman, and I can get the tackle for loss myself. I don't have to wait for the help to come.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate you and your insights. And now all you got to worry about the next couple of days is Furman.
We're good on that. I got one comment on the quarterback, the number two. The number two, who's the backup? I'm fine with if they go either or. The biggest thing, the question becomes, how can I get those guys reps as far as in practice?
Yeah.
If they flip-flop them as far as even to run the scout team, Yes, you're not running the Saints offense, but how many reps does the number two quarterback get when the Saints practice offensively anyway?
No, you ain't getting a ton of reps.
One or two.
Two at the most.
That's it.
That's it.
If it's 12 offensive snaps, your number two guy gets one or two. That's it. You're not getting a ton. And so, man, let them young guys develop. Let them develop. I mean, both get to dress on Sunday. Both get to dress on Sunday. Now, what they will have to do is declare which player is two or three on Sunday, just to say, hey, this player can come in and he can't come out. But if this player goes in and he can't play anymore, they both get to dress on Sunday. They both can go and compete. Get them as many reps as you can, you know, and hey, continue to work. That's what I care about. Anywhere in there, I don't think it's written in stone that once you're the number two player, number two quarterback, that you're the number two quarterback for the rest of the year. Is that written in stone anywhere?
No, it isn't.
No.
No, it isn't.
No. So, the work continues. Appreciate it, my brother.
Thank you, Deuce. Appreciate it, bud. See you Saturday. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Want to tell everybody, Saturday at 1 o'clock, join Bobby, Deuce, and myself for a WWL Sports Special at Rouse's on Chapultepec. We'll celebrate football, the start of LSU and college football season, the official start of the NFL season right around the corner, and Labor Day weekend. Come out and say hi to the Saints legends and myself. Again, Bobby, Deuce, myself, 1 to 4 Saturday from Rouse's on Chapultepec, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. We'll throw it back to Cullen, and we'll be back to finish it off here on our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. At 5:20, we'll have on with us Cooper Perkins, who covers the USC Trojans for the Believe Network. 5:45, triple option. One offensive lineman to keep an eye out on, and that's Tyree Phillips, who started last year for the Giants. He's played both guard and tackle. He's coming off an injury at this point, but from people close to him, they tell me he's close to being back and ready to play. Tyree Phillips, keep that name in mind. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870. Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Want to tell everybody, Saturday at 1 o'clock, join Bobby, Deuce, and myself for a WWL Sports Special at Rouse's on Chapultepec. We'll celebrate football, the start of LSU and college football season, the official start of the NFL season right around the corner, and Labor Day weekend. Come out and say hi to the Saints legends and myself. Again, Bobby, Deuce, myself, 1 to 4 Saturday from Rouse's on Chapultepec, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. We'll throw it back to Cullen, and we'll be back to finish it off here on our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. At 5:20, we'll have on with us Cooper Perkins, who covers the USC Trojans for the Believe Network. 5:45, triple option. One offensive lineman to keep an eye out on, and that's Tyree Phillips, who started last year for the Giants. He's played both guard and tackle. He's coming off an injury at this point, but from people close to him, they tell me he's close to being back and ready to play. Tyree Phillips, keep that name in mind. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. At 5:20, we'll have on with us Cooper Perkins, who covers the USC Trojans for the Believe Network. 5:45, triple option. One offensive lineman to keep an eye out on, and that's Tyree Phillips, who started last year for the Giants. He's played both guard and tackle. He's coming off an injury at this point, but from people close to him, they tell me he's close to being back and ready to play. Tyree Phillips, keep that name in mind. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870.